Good Sunday morning to you. For November the 5th, 2017, I'm Brian Truda, and this is KC Close Up. Thank you so much for being here. On today's show, we get the pleasure of highlighting some Kansas Cityans who are shining in the spotlight. The first of which is a Sporting KC player, Matt Beisler. After graduating from Blue Valley West High School, Beisler went on to be drafted by his hometown team, Sporting Kansas City. He spent his entire career with the hometown club and became the first Kansan to play in a World Cup game in the 2014 FIFA World Cup. After an injury sidelined Beisler for a time last year, he decided to put pen to paper and write a book, the fruits of which come out this next week. Beisler joined us in studio to talk about his book project, the end of the Sporting KC season in a disappointing fashion, and what is to come for both himself and for soccer.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
So the book comes out November 7th.
Yep.
And this came about from probably a not so good time for you. You had suffered a concussion.
Yeah.
You had some time off from the field. And you decided to put together some stories. So tell us what happened here.
Yeah. So I'd been approached a few times about a possible book project, and the timing wasn't right earlier in my career. And but this time it was, and so I was finally able to take a little bit of time away from the field. And one of the recommendations that I had from doctors to keep your brain active when you're trying to recover from a concussion was to keep a journal and to start writing. And so that's what I did. And that's when the project really came together, and the idea for what this book is, mm-hmm. Solidified. And so that was the start of it. That was about a year and a half ago. And here we are today. It comes out next week. And
awesome.
Yeah, really excited for it.
So what you kind of put this together, you said, from questions that fans would ask you,
yep.
when they just encounter you or they meet you at a signing or what have you. There's got to be a lot of it's got to run the gamut of what people can come up with.
Yeah, no, that was actually one of the challenges that I had with the book is how do you write this keeping your entire audience in mind at the same time? Because I knew I didn't want to just write a book for soccer only fans. I didn't want to make it that specific. I wanted to open it up to people that maybe are just getting into the game or somebody that knows nothing about soccer. I also wanted to keep all ages in mind. And so I had to kind of pick and choose what questions that I typically get and what I wanted to focus on. But that was pretty much the main inspiration is, I thought to myself, well, what questions do I always get answered by fans? And mm-hmm. I usually never have the time to sit down and actually give them the answer that I want to give them because I don't have the time.
Right.
I have to give them a generic answer that takes 10 seconds. And I mean, some of these questions, there's a lot that goes into them. Like, what can my kid do to get a college scholarship? Or should my kid play multiple sports? Or mm-hmm. should they focus on one sport when they're 10 years old? And I have opinions on that stuff, and so I took the time to write about him, and hopefully people somehow might find those opinions interesting.
Have you found your opinion changing on that since you have a child now?
Well, we have a 14-month-old.
Yeah.
So we haven't started thinking about that quite yet.
Right.
Right now we're it's survival mode,
Sure.
But I have the opinion that kids should play multiple sports.
Yeah.
It's not even a question to me. I don't think, unless, it's like a 0.01, case, mm-hmm. A very rare case where you might have to specialize if you're going to be going to the Olympics as a 16-year-old or something like that in
right.
gymnastics, then okay. But in general, I just think there's so much value to playing different sports and having different coaches and styles, and you have a different role with every team you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be the best player on your soccer team, but then you go and play basketball and you're maybe not as good as basketball that you are at soccer, and so that's going to just give you so much life experience of having to play a different role, and it's super beneficial.
That's cool. Was that your experience growing up?
My experience growing up was I did get to play a lot of different sports.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful for that. When you're a kid, you don't really think about that. You don't have any perspective at all. But
right.
when you get older, you start to, you know, look back and you say, well, you know, I'm thankful and I'm glad that I got to play sports because I learned all these different things. And but the, you know, society has changed. The mm-hmm. landscape in sports right. has changed. And I mean, that you just asked me, you know, now that I have a kid, to be honest with you, I don't even know what it's like anymore.
Right.
I feel for some of these parents that are having to go through some of the stuff. And, you know, when I was going through youth sports, it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so they're just, the options weren't there. It was normal to play a season for, you know, a couple months and then move on to the next season and not specialize.
Yeah.
Now, I played college basketball, and the best thing that I took away from any, so I played a lot of different sports, but that was the one that I took the furthest. But the number one thing I learned from that was how to work with a lot of different people, because you had to be adaptable. You're working with all these different personalities, and you had to learn how to get along with everybody. What's the one takeaway you get from sports?
Work ethic.
Yeah.
Work ethic. Yeah. You're forced to usually go above and beyond, you know, the requirements of something else, especially when if you're going to play in high school and if you're going to play in college, because mm-hmm. it's not only about, as you know, it's not only about, you know, on the field, it's about off the field.
Right.
You're forced to manage, you know, studies and academics and social life. And there's no way in life to replicate that, you know. That's your only chance to be able to do that, and it's just so valuable.
It's interesting because we're talking with Matt Beisler again, and his book, No Other Home, it comes out on November 7th. In the book, and there's a free preview you can see on Amazon, so I was checking that out.
Okay.
And it's your schedule. It's the part about your schedule for game
yeah.
day
yeah.
and your non-game day schedule. And I was thinking about, okay, so I have a 7-year-old. Obviously, I don't work out as hardcore as you do. I don't work
what?
Out. Let's just stop there, right? But I was thinking about, you know, with that schedule and really, and then how a kid fits into your life and how a relationship fits into your life. And, you know, those are things that as professional athletes, you guys have to, we don't think about that stuff. We think about Matt Beisler, the player. We think about Matt Beisler, the, you know, going out into the national stage, but we don't think about all the stuff that happens behind the scenes for you. I thought that was a real interesting look at your life in particular.
Yeah, no, that's something that I included almost at the last second. It was something that I always wanted to do, and mm-hmm. we had some extra room in there at the end, and so I said, why don't I just write down exactly what my daily schedule looks like?
Yeah,
if
yeah.
somebody's interested in what I do on a daily basis, and mm-hmm. After that, I actually included a few workouts too. So for your kid,
I did see
if he's
that.
Interested
yes.
in
yeah.
that. I
yeah.
thought that would be cool too, because if somebody wanted to know what my favorite workout is, or if
right.
somebody wanted to test you know, how they would face against my favorite workout, then they can do that. But
I'm not going to be doing the SEALs challenge, by the way.
Yeah.
You put that
yeah.
in there. I'm like,
I was
whoa.
Really sore. I'm always sore after that. So be warned about
right?
that one.
Yeah,
but,
your warm-up is our workout.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
In a year.
Have,
yeah.
For a full
exactly.
year.
For all three of us combined.
Yeah, right.
No, I try and have balance. I think balance is important. You have to have... You have to have some kind of life off the field. You have to be healthy. If you're not, you're not going to play well. And
sure.
so you want to play well, and so you have to take care of those things. And fortunately, I have an amazing wife who understands some of the demands. And so while I love to be at home and love to be a dad, there's certain times where I can't be there, and I have to be away. And she certainly understands that mm-hmm. for now. So I'm very thankful for that.
Like when Parker was born.
Oh yeah.
You weren't there.
Yeah, that's another story in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main stories is the birth of our daughter. I unfortunately was not there. And
yeah.
I was stranded on an island in the Caribbean playing
no.
a World Cup qualifier.
Can I just say how horrible of an excuse that sounds? Oh, I was stranded on an island somewhere.
yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
honey.
Yeah.
During my daughter's birth.
Yeah. No, that's I go into details about what that, you know, experience was like. And It's kind of funny now, because when we're first time parents, and so we didn't know what we were doing, and so we were doing the birthing classes that they have. I think they have 5 of them over at Shawnee Mission Medical Center, and I had to miss a couple, go figure,
mm-hmm.
because of my schedule. But we were always joking that, you know, why am I even going to these classes? Because I'm probably not even going to be at the birth. I'm going to be at a soccer game, and it was kind of our inside joke, you know,
right.
to like get us through pregnancy
yeah.
and. I realized at the time we should not have joked about that because we jinxed ourselves.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't trade anything. I really wouldn't. Right. I say that in the book at the end. Looking back, it was a heck of an experience. It's a heck of a story to tell, and everything worked out the way it should, and I really wouldn't trade it.
Yeah. I think it's perfect that you wrote a book because you have not been afraid. You have been really kind of the face of sporting and even the men's national team. And I know this year, this season probably didn't go the way that you wanted it to in either of those respects.
Yeah.
But you haven't been, the open letters that you've written the fans, the fact that you even mentioned in the book that after the men's national loss and you really relying on people in Kansas City to pick you up.
Yeah.
It seems like you've really been open with that kind of stuff. And so this doesn't really come as a surprise that you kind of get your feelings out through writing, it seems like.
Yeah.
Is that one way that you do it?
I did. Mm-hmm. Look, these situations are not easy. I'm not going to lie and sit here and say, I'm great. Because sometimes I'm not.
Right.
Sometimes I fail, and sometimes it's really hard to put into words what it feels like. But if I'm looking at the title here of the book, and the subtitle says Learning What Matters Most, and what I found actually through writing this book is it was actually easier to write about those difficult moments,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to writing about the positive ones.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting that at all. I thought I was going to sit down and, hey, I get to write about playing in the World Cup, and but that was actually tough, because it's like, what are you going to take away from that?
Right.
And how are you going to explain that to people? And how are you going to write about it in a way that people can relate to it? Whereas, flip it around, and when you're writing about the struggles that you had or the failures or difficulties, that stuff almost was more natural. That, in some ways, I enjoyed writing about that stuff more.
We love learning about each other's flaws, because it makes us go, oh, yeah, no, we're all just real people that have real problems and real things. You're not just this big, great soccer player. You're also just a dad who probably has to wake up every 90 minutes in the middle of the night.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Well, to end on one note, do we get to the book and stuff? But where does Sporting go from here? Where does U.S. soccer go from here?
So we just got knocked out of the playoffs, unfortunately. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's going to take a couple weeks to get over the loss,
right.
To process everything. It's disappointing. I think that's the best word for it, because I and I know all my teammates, we really felt like we had a talented enough team to really make a run at the MLS Cup this year.
Sure.
And, it's not one of those years where it's like, oh, we had a ton of injuries and we just weren't good enough. And sometimes you can accept that a little bit better than this case, this season, because mm-hmm. there were times in the year where we were playing out of this world.
Right.
I mean, I truly believe we're the top three in the league, mm-hmm. As far as talent wise. So to come up short, that's the frustrating part. I know it's frustrating for the fans, because they could see the same thing, and they felt that, that possibility of us making a run. But look, that's the way it goes, and right. So we have to get better from it. We have really high expectations at Sporting Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
The whole organization expects to win every single year. Some people might say that's unfair, but it's really not. I embrace that. I think that's awesome,
right,
to have
right.
such high expectations. It pushes everybody along, and so that's what we need to do as players and as an entire team. We have to learn from the areas that we did fall short this year. We have to use it to motivate us in the off season, and then we have to come back next year and just be a stronger team.
Does it smart? You're like, oh man, we had the high of the U.S. Open Cup,
mm-hmm.
and then to struggle in the playoffs. There's some solace to take in that, isn't there? That you take home a cup in the season, but you just, even though MLS Cup isn't out of it.
Oh, for sure. There's plenty of positives from the season. It's not like the season was a failure.
Right. Oh, no.
We fell short in, mm-hmm. in some areas. We fell short in the last goal that we had, which is MLS Cup. And that's the one that's going to be the one that sticks in your mind, because it's the last thing you do. And you have to think about it all off season. But you know, once everything settles down and you're able to really, you know, decompress and think about it, you can take a lot of positives away, like the Open Cup in the middle of the season. We had a lot of new faces this year, and we acclimated them to living in Kansas City, to being a part of the team, to playing our style. And so I think looking forward, you know, to have those new guys on our team, it's only going to get better.
That's great. The book comes out November 7th. It's going to make a great Christmas gift for somebody. It's a perfect time. No Other Home is what it's called. Matt Beasler joins us here. Matt, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you could put us into the schedule today.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Take care and have a good holiday.
You guys too.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I did the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you go to mydreamvention.com, you will see all of these cool inventions that kids have invented, and one of them comes from a kid right here in the Kansas City area, Julia Lutchie. Am I saying your last name right? Lutchie? Julia, how old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
10 years old.
Wow.
And you have the coolest invention. What did you create?
I created the storm sleeper. It helps you sleep during a storm.
So describe the storm sleeper to us.
There's like pillows around your head and fabric like connecting the pillows. And there's a Bluetooth speaker, a reading light, and a pocket.
Oh, perfect.
Nice.
So you can play whatever music or sounds that you would want in there. And you came up with this. Why?
Because I was afraid of storms, and we had to come up with a fourth grade invention for school.
Oh, yeah.
And so I couldn't think of what I wanted to do, but then I realized that I was really afraid of storms, so I decided to do the storm sleeper.
So it just started as a school project, and then how does it turn into you being a finalist out of 13,000 submissions?
Well, I saw it on Ellen, and I just was like, okay, I'm going to enter. I entered two other inventions that I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the storm sleeper was the first one I entered.
And how long ago was this?
In March.
So way back in spring, you submit this. And then how did you know that you were moving forward, that you were becoming a finalist?
Well, over the summer, they wanted us to call, or they called us. And we did an interview over the phone, and then later, when my parents knew that I was a finalist, but I still didn't, I had to answer questions.
Uh-huh.
About like my invention and about me. And so then I went to Austin and I found out that I was a finalist.
Mom and Dad, they flew you guys out to Austin to surprise her.
Yeah, they did. It was so much fun. It was really cool. And we couldn't wait for Julia to find out that she was a top five finalist.
And this mom, Susan, and this was, as you said, the hardest 6 weeks of your life because you knew pretty much in July, but couldn't tell her anything until September, right?
That's right.
Oh, wow.
It was the toughest secret I've ever kept. I just kept staring at her and saying, I'm so proud of you, honey. You're just amazing. And she would kind of look at me funny and I'd go and watch her sleep at night and smile and tell her how much I was so proud and I love her so much.
And now they're down to five finalists on mydreamvention.com, and you can vote there now. If you win, what do you get?
$250,000.
$250,000.
Wow. Man.
Yikes.
I'm meeting with Robert Herjavec from Shark Tank.
Oh,
wow.
Wow,
that's cool.
Fantastic. So what does a 10-year-old do with $250,000?
Well, I'm going to save it for college and give away some.
Very smart. Wow,
that's very good. That's awesome. So you said that you had come up with a couple of different inventions. What else did you put out there? Do you have all this stuff like swimming around in your head?
Well, I came up with something called the beet bun because like it was a hair tie with like a Fitbit or step counter in it.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And then a speaker. And then I also had, like, since I do gymnastics, like this bar, but then there's a beam cover that you can put on top of it. Then he could use it as a bar or a beam.
Wow. Hmm. This girl's good.
Yeah, right.
I would buy any of those.
Right. No kidding. So do you want to invent stuff when you grow up, or have you given that much thought?
Well, I think like I want to invent a few more things, but not have my whole life revolve around that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if Storm Sleeper wins this, are they going to then make this and put it into production so people can buy it? Is that the hope?
Well, Julia's already filed for a trademark, and there's a patent pending. And since we've been out there campaigning for votes to try to get a win for the city and for Julia, we've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people in the community that they want their own Storm Sleeper. And they have Julia didn't mention that she also realized after creating it that her dad is a loud snorer. So she said it's really good for drowning out the noise of her dad snoring and her noisy siblings.
Yeah.
And the barking dog.
Right.
And since we put it out there, a lot of people said, you know, we have a snorer in our family. We want one of these now. How do we get it? And then there's some different communities who are also interested, like friends that have said, you know, our pets are scared of fireworks and scared of storms. And so we want one for our pet. Can we get one for our dog? So we're thinking, you know, about testing it for pets. And then we have friends who have kids and people in their lives who are sensitive to sensory issues or have autism or ADHD and they want one now for their kids. So we think they would be a great therapy aid.
Wow.
Maybe even if you could have a travel version, because we take a lot of road trips, and I'm thinking if you had a little car version so the kid can be in there just listening, because the kids fight nonstop, especially in the car. You separate them with the Storm Sleeper, and then everybody's happy.
That's right. Julia's wheels are turning now.
Mm-hmm. See? Oh, this is great.
Yeah, or, you know, just to get away from Jen, who sits in the car, I hear, and That's goes, true. Hey, look at that cloud, what it looks like.
I talk a lot in the car.
I'm sure her husband can use one of those. So. Now, you can vote until the 27th of November, and you can vote on up to five different devices. That's right. So this is where you can get a cell phone going, you can get your tablet, computer, all that good stuff.
Everything. Vote once per day on every device until November 27th. And we really need everybody's help in the community, and they've been wonderful, and we want everyone to keep voting.
Absolutely.
And you can vote at My Dream Vention. It is not invention, because I tried to put that in. It's mydreamvention.com, and you'll see all the finalists, and Julia's is right there, the Storm Sleeper. You just hit vote now.
Fantastic. Julia, thanks for coming by. Thanks for bringing your parents. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having us.
You'll have to
us.
Keep us updated on what happens, okay?
When you win $250,000, you can come back and we'll talk about how you're spending the money.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And once again, you can vote for Julia and the Storm Sleeper one time per day on up to five different devices at www.mydreamvention.com.
www.mydreamvention.com. It's worth mentioning at this point that as we get into the holiday season, KC1021 is, of course, your Christmas station. And we're very pleased to very soon be providing the Kansas City area with the best Christmas music 24/7. You, by the way, can go to our website at kc1021.com and submit the date and time down to the second that you think we will flip to Christmas music. The person who comes the closest to without going over will receive $1,000 in Christmas cash. You can submit your ideas and your times up until next Sunday night, the 12th of November, at midnight. But because of the Christmas tunes, of course, with that comes the giving of the Christmas season. Next week on the show, we're going to talk to Doug Cowan. Doug is the CEO of Community Services League. It is an organization that has been in business for more than 100 years. Community Services League provides financial coaching, housing, and also employment coaching and counseling, along with their other activities, including relief for tornado and disaster relief victims, and also provides a store this time of the year where more than 2,500 families can go shopping for Christmas gifts and necessities for their families. Well, over the course of the next month, we'd like you to know that KC1021 is very pleased to be collecting items for the Stock the Store. CSL is taking donations in three different buckets: brand new unwrapped toys with a $10 to $15 value, household items and necessities such as toothpaste, socks, underwear, and other goods, and of course, monetary donations as well. You can see their website at cslcares.org for more. Or you can give to the buckets wherever you see the KC1021 Christmas van over the course of the next month. We'd really appreciate it if you're able to give something. And they will take whatever you're able to give and turn it into a very happy Christmas for a child and their family all over Kansas City. So we thank you in advance. And find out more information on our Facebook page or our website as well, kc1021.com. I want to thank our guest for today, again, Julia Lucci. The website to vote for Julia's invention, the Storm Sleeper, in the Frito-Lay My Dreamvention competition is, again, mydreamvention.com. Also, our thanks to Matt Beasler. Matt's book, No Other Home, Living, Leading, and Learning What Matters Most, is available beginning November 7th at bookstores around Kansas City and on Amazon Books as well, along with your Kindle and wherever you find reading material these days. KC Close Up is a 2017 production of Steel City Media Incorporated. You can find out all about it at our main studio location at 508 Westport Road, Suite 202, Kansas City, Missouri, 64111, during normal business hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, during normal working days. You can also suggest a guest or a topic for a future program by emailing me, Truta, T-R-U-T-A, at kc1021.com. If you're listening on the radio right now, then you may be pleased to know that if you missed any part of this program today, you can revisit KC Close Up anytime you wish by finding us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app, the KC1021 Facebook page, or at kc1021.com, or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Until next week, when we talk with Doug Cowan, CEO of Community Services League, I'm Brian Truda, wishing you a great week ahead. Thanks for joining us here again for another edition of KC Close Up.